Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued.
Okay, let's unpack this. The world often teaches us, doesn't it, to hide parts of ourselves.
It does. That feeling that some aspects just aren't welcome.
Right. That it might be safer, maybe even necessary, to sort of tuck away your joy, your difference, your truth. But what if? What if you could push back?
And that's really the core idea we're diving into today. We're looking at this blog post from the Church of Tinkerbell website.
When the world says hide, pride says shine. That's the one.
Exactly. And it offers this, well, this really powerful counter-narrative to that pressure to disappear.
Absolutely. Hiding, visibility, what pride means.
Mm-hmm. And it starts right there, doesn't it? Laying out this idea of the pressure to disappear. How it argues many people learn this really young.
Yeah, it suggests hiding parts of yourself is almost presented as the way to get by.
And it gets specific about what gets hidden.
It does. Things like softness, joy, difference, love. Even your body, your truth, your core self.
And the source suggests this isn't always like an overt command. It can be learned subtly.
Right, through those subtle cues that make blending in feel like, well, like survival.
And the source tries to explain how this gets ingrained. It mentions harsh laws, sure, but also things much more personal.
Like a disapproving glance. Or that example it gives of a parent's silence.
Yeah, that silence that somehow whispers, you're wrong. That's how the source puts it.
And this connects to a really sharp point the source makes. Conformity gets rewarded, difference gets punished.
It gives some very specific examples to back that up from its point of view.
What does it mention?
Well, it points to trans kids being treated as problems that need fixing. Queer couples being told their affection needs to be appropriate for public spaces.
Okay.
Non-binary people facing confusion, ridicule, or just being ignored, erased. It also brings up intersex bodies being operated on without consent, you know, to normalize them. Asexual people being overlooked, aromantic people told they're somehow broken.
So the source sees these all as examples of that same pressure. To perform.
That seems to be the connection it's drawing. It lumps this all together under the term machine of shame.
A machine of shame.
Yeah, suggesting it's so normalized, it doesn't even register as cruelty sometimes, just the way things are.
And the result of this, according to the source,
is learning to fold in on yourself. That's the phrase it uses. Performing safety, mastering what it calls masking.
Hiding in plain sight.
Exactly. But, and this is key in the piece, it says, even when hidden, that truth doesn't just go away, it waits.
Okay, so if hiding is the pressure, then pride, in this source's view, is the response.
Yeah.
The rebellion.
And it's very deliberate in stating that pride didn't start as a party.
Right, that's a crucial distinction for this author.
Definitely. It frames the origins as protest, as refusal, as well as riot.
And it specifically credits certain groups with leading that.
Yes, it highlights the leadership of black and brown trans women and gender nonconforming people in that initial resistance.
From there, the source uses some really potent symbolism, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The language gets quite evocative. Every rainbow flag is a resurrection.
Right.
Every public queer kiss, a revolution.
Okay.
Every pronoun claimed, asserting how you should be referred to, that's described as reclaiming holy ground.
So the definition of pride here isn't about asking permission.
Not at all. The source defines it simply as refusing to apologize for who you are. That's the core.
Refusing to apologize. That really flips the script, doesn't it?
It does. The source calls it a sacred rebellion.
Against what, exactly?
Against the forces that told us we had to earn love by being someone else. That's the quote.
Okay. So, from rebellion, it moves to this idea of shining. What does that mean in this context? Is it about being loud?
Not necessarily, no. The source is careful about that. It clarifies that shining isn't automatically loud or showy.
So what is it then?
It's defined more simply as being visible in your truth.
visible in your truth. Okay, however that looks for you.
Precisely. And it offers a range of examples, some quiet, some maybe requiring more courage.
Like what?
Could be wearing clothes that feel like home, like you. Mm. Could be correcting someone when they misgender you, or, you know, holding your partner's hand in public, even if you feel that flicker of fear. The source acknowledges the fear.
It also mentions more internal acts.
Right.
Things others might not even see.
Yes, exactly. Like telling yourself, I'm not ready to come out yet, but I'm still real. That's presented as a form of shining.
Or talking to your inner child, that idea of saying you deserve love all along.
Mm-hmm. These are all framed as acts of shining your truth. And they build towards this stance,
which is
standing firmly in the light of your own being. And the source sums it up with this powerful line, I'm not going to shrink to make you comfortable.
That's direct.
Very. And underpinning all of this is a core declaration in the piece.
Which feels central to its whole argument.
Absolutely. That your existence is non-negotiable. Period.
It lists things off, doesn't it? Your joy.
Right. Your joy isn't a disruption. Your gender isn't a phase. Your love isn't a scandal. Your body isn't a mistake.
Your existence is not negotiable. Full stop.
That's the message. And then it weaves in this blessing of Tinkerbell.
Which blesses. All kinds of ways of being.
Yeah. The loud, the shy, the messy, the magical, those still figuring things out, those becoming, those glimmering, glittering. It's very inclusive in its blessing.
Well, circling back to that core idea, you aren't made to disappear.
Precisely. And in light of that, Pride Month itself takes on a specific meaning in the source.
More than just a parade or a party.
It's framed as an invitation back to life, especially when the world seems bent on erasing you.
So existence itself becomes resistance.
That's exactly how the source puts it. Every honest breath is resistance. Every moment you choose joy, despite everything, is sacred.
And the final call to action is pretty unambiguous.
It is. Take every part you were told to hide.
And let it shine.
Let it shine. The ending is powerful. Let there be light. Let it come from within. Let it blind the ones who said you shouldn't exist.
Wow, quite an ending.
So, if we boil down the message from this specific source,
okay,
it really contrasts this intense societal pressure it describes, this pressure to hide, with pride as this essential sacred act of rebellion.
A refusal to apologize?
Exactly. And a commitment to shining, to being visible in your own truth, because that truth, that existence, is presented as fundamentally non-negotiable.
It's a compelling argument laid out in this one piece,
yeah,
which leads to maybe a final thought for you, the listener, to consider.
Hmm.
If you take this source's perspective seriously, that your existence is non-negotiable, that even an honest breath can be resistance, what might that actually mean for how you choose to just be?
Mm.
How you show up in the world, maybe starting right now.
That's definitely something to sit with.
Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.